Good morning. That was a weak start, but we will build up as we go. I want to take a few moments to reflect on the passages that Anita read for us. I want to encourage you with a simple thought this morning as we ponder for just a few minutes, is that there has been a seed planted in your soul. God has nudged you, encouraged you, prompted you, spoke to you in some capacity. And if for no other reason, I would say that with some confidence by the fact that you have joined us this morning. And some of you I know, God has been speaking or moving or encouraging for some time. There's a seed that has been planted within your soul. One of the questions or encouragements that I want to ask or challenge us with and challenge myself with is, what is happening with that? What is taking place with that inside of us? Within Matthew's gospel, we get the picture of these different seeds, and earlier on in the passage is the parable of the sower, which often when people listen to the words of Christ, they find some difficulty in understanding him. And here we get an explanation. So we have this seed by the path, and there's a seed which lands perhaps on hardened, beaten down ground, eaten by the birds, and the hearing is superficial. It does not last. It is taken away. I don't know if you ever hear superficially, if you ever hear but aren't really paying attention. Maybe right now, it might be one of those times in your life when we aren't really hearing. There's seed in shallow soil. There's a fickle or a light hearing. The word is heard, the nudge is felt, the movement is noticed, the calling is not totally ignored. But when life gets a little bit tough, when things don't work out quite as we had hoped or planned, we're swayed. That maybe this nudge isn't it. Maybe God is not enough. Maybe the gospel is not the answer. When persecution comes, we're swayed. When things get difficult, we're swayed. Then we have seed that begins to grow, but is choked out by the thorns. But it shows promise initially. But in the end, due to the competition of secular concerns, the seed ends up being choked out. The world has much to offer that might be and or is in competition to what the Lord God has to offer. The world might give you a story of success that is different than the story of success which God has for you. The world may call you to things of abundance here and now, and life in the kingdom of God might call you to build up abundance in the life to come and maybe do without some of that here. There's different narratives, different stories. And some begin to show promise, but the lure, the call, the hope of accumulating or amassing things here chokes out, building a life hoped and focused on the kingdom of God. Greed is at the base. What a joy it is to learn to want nothing more than God. I think it was St. Augustine who noted something to the effect that to have abundance is to have God and God alone. And all that is not God is no abundance to me. It's a fascinating call and statement. A seed that has taken that root will not be easily choked out. Might, by God's grace, the seed produce in us, in you, fruit by hearing. I think I've alluded to this before in different contexts here at First and elsewhere, this wonderful beauty of this word here. And Shema, the great Shema of the Old Testament, hear, the first word of that being Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your might. But this word to hear means to receive, to hear means to accept, to hear means to respond, to hear means to act, to hear means to run with this word that has been given to you. Beloved, beloved, those who are loved by God, those who have been drawn by the Spirit, those who have been called and encouraged by the gospel, run with this. See it as your all and all. And let us not be consumed or seduced by secondary interest. Let us move on to the deeper things of God. I'm fascinated by the way Hebrews 6 begins. Therefore, let us go on toward perfection, leaving behind the basic teaching about Christ, and not laying again the foundation, repentance from dead works and faith toward God, instruction about baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. How's that sound for a foundational list of basic beliefs? Some of that sounds pretty deep to me. Let us move on. Move on to what? I think one of the things I would like to draw out in answering that question is to move on and or to maintain and or to continue in or grow in your pursuit of what those things mean in your day-to-day life. The bearing of fruit. We read a little later in Hebrews 6, verse 7. Ground that drinks up the rain falling on it repeatedly, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it produces thorns and thistles, it is worthless, and on the verge of being cursed, its end is to be burned over. God has showered blessing upon you. Yes? God has showered, beloved, those who have been nudged, those who have tasted, and we get this image here in Hebrews, those who have tasted of the things of God, those who have received enlightenment, those who have been encouraged by the love of God displayed for us now in Christ. Those who have tasted and seen, that's the blessing to have received. Those of you whom are blessed, dive deep into this, pursue this, seek after this with all that you've got, recognizing that nothing this world has to offer will compare in the wonder, the grandeur, the magnitude, the beauty of the blessings of the Lord. And the blessings to pour into are a life that produces fruit to the glory of God. You might know or remember, probably have read different times, the wonderful image and picture that Jesus gives in John's Gospel with his disciples. And they're traveling along and they come to the vine, and they come to this vine which is to produce fruit. And Jesus is the central vine. And Jesus calls the disciples, abide in me as I abide in you, and you shall bear much fruit. Jesus in that account says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. And God is pictured as the husbandman, the gardener, the vine grower, the vine dresser, who is looking for fruit. This is the more. Not only do we have an understanding of the wonder of God in Christ, the wonder that he has loved us, the wonder of the call of repentance and faith, the wonder of baptism, the wonder of some of these first things or elementary things that the writer of Hebrews notes. But then to add to that, what that can mean and look like through our lives lived to the glory of God. Let us move to the deeper things of God, so that our immaturity might be overcome. None of us care to be called immature. I don't know if you've been called immature often in your life. If you have, I do not mean to add to that this morning. But there's a call here for us to remain in the elementary things of the faith, to remain, if I can word it this way, in a head knowledge of the faith, to remain in an understanding only of the things of God that does not permeate our lives and produce fruit to the glory of God is to be immature in our faith. The call is to go big, to go all in. Paul uses a language of run. Run well the race that is set before you. Run that you may achieve. Run that you may win. Setting all of your affections upon Christ who has died for you. This is the more. It's more than a taste. I don't know if you've ever eaten a dish that you've loved so much that you've just wanted more. I've never had that experience all the time. One of my issues is I love good tasting food. And you taste and you want more. This is a seed that is beginning to take root. This is a seed that will lead to fruit. In the literal sense of eating, it might lead to extra weight. But in the spiritual sense, tasting and seeing that it is good and desiring more of that. Don't turn your back on that. Don't turn away from that. Don't begin to get seduced by other meals that are not as good. The things of this world, including greed, that's mentioned in this passage. More than elementary doctrine, or just doctrine. More than a taste. The curtain has begun to lift. You've been given a view into a whole other world, a whole other kingdom, a whole other way of being. And that is where the adventure really begins in the Christian faith, is to have grasped something of the truth of Christ, to recognize his life, death, and resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of God, to recognize that we are loved by him, to recognize the wonder of grace, and then to pursue that for the rest of our days. I believe it was A.W. Tozer who called this the soul's paradox of love. To have been found by God and yet still pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. You have been found by God. Pursue him. Pursue him. In order that your life might be shaped and molded by your ongoing encounter with him, that your life might be a life that produces fruit. In Hebrews, we get this picture that this first fruit or this fruit in their lives was that of love and service. That Shema calls us to love God with all that we've got, but then the second command we find in Leviticus and reiterated in the teaching of Christ and throughout the epistles is to love one another. This is the fruit of the kingdom of God being born in and through your life. You've been consumed by the love of God in Christ. You love God with all that you've got. That love permeates through you in the loving of others. It's a desire to see the face of God in and through your life. No turning back. Looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I love the image, and it's a difficult image, but I love the image. Now, let me just turn there for a moment. It's a beautiful image. We find it in Acts chapter 7. We find this image in Acts 7 with the stoning of Stephen. And they've heard Stephen reiterating or sharing the good news of Christ, sharing the gospel, sharing what it is that has taken place and then through the life of Christ. And people are not pleased with the message that Stephen is sharing. When they heard these things in verse 54 of Acts 7, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, Stephen said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. They dragged Stephen out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. And Saul approved of the killing. How's that for some fruit? Holding on to nothing, not even my own life, because I have felt the nudge. I have tasted and seen that God is good. I have had a glimpse into the wonders of the kingdom of God. I know and I believe through faith, and maybe not a vision as such Stephen had, but I know that my Lord Jesus Christ has ascended and is seated at the right hand of God, interceding on my behalf, and I will run well the race that is set before me. Jesus being our anchor. Jesus being the one who in the flesh has gone before us and is at the right hand of God. Jesus being the author and perfecter of our faith and our example to follow, to pursue, to image in and through our lives. His life being lived in full accordance with the will of God. Anchor your life in and through Christ, in the hope that he has secured for us at the right hand of the Father, and live to his glory. Develop a life of prayer, fasting, simplicity, solitude, fellowship, communion, study, reading of the Word of God, and live a life of service and love. On to the God who has called you. On to the God who has tapped you on the shoulder. On to the God who has placed a seed of another world, another kingdom into your heart. A ship well anchored worries not where the wind blows, for a well anchored ship will not drift. Father God, help us not to drift. Help us not to drift from your calling. Help us not to drift from your love. Help us not to drift from that which Christ has accomplished on our behalf. Help us not to drift from the moving of your Spirit. Help us not to be overcome by the ways of this world, the seductions of the flesh, the false hopes and the false promises that this world gives of abundance. But help us to surrender all abundance in this realm, that the good news might take deep root in our souls, that the seed we have received by your grace will produce much fruit to the glory of our God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask this to your praise and your glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen.